There is only one podcast that can legitimately call itself the voice of reality TV. Download the show at rffradio.com. We are not sure if they can play nice with each other, so now, from separate studios deep in the Husker Nation of Nebraska and in the Big Apple, are Rob and Trevor with the Reality TV Podcast.
Welcome to the longest-running reality TV podcast on the internet. I'm Trevor.
And I am Rob, and welcome to another live recording of RFF Radio. We record live in front of a live studio audience. Did you know that?
We do indeed.
So, no, we are recording live. I think I'm recording the show.
Well, we are live, we just don't have the studio audience.
That's true.
We're only partially telling a lie.
That's true.
We're just getting ready for our stint on Survivor.
That's it. I have a new setup in here tonight. So I think I might be recording the show wrong. So if it sounds a little funky, it'll be fixed for next week. And it might just sound just perfect. I don't know. But I have a new seat. My ass is happy tonight because I have a new seat. And they're talking in the chat room about Walking Dead. If anybody spoils it for me in the chat room, I will ban every single one of you. I have not seen last night's Walking Dead. I will ban anybody who talks about it. So anyway, we have a lot to talk about. Plus, at the end of the show, I have an interview with the latest kicked off of The Amazing Race. I couldn't help myself. I had to talk to these people today. I have a lot to talk about on The Amazing Race, but what do you want to get started with?
Yeah, I can go either or. I mean,
let's start with Survivor.
I thought Survivor was legendary, but if you want to go Amazing Race, I can go Amazing
Race.
Now,
let's start with Survivor, because you said you have a lot to talk about with Survivor.
Yeah, I mean, you know, since we last did our show, Pete and Abby Maria went from top of the heap to Pete being eliminated. And Abby Maria just getting torn apart at Tribal Council,
which she deserves every bit that she's getting.
I mean, we've been ripping on her all season. I just think she's. Just tough. I've never liked her personality.
No.
That being said, I thought they could have pumped the brakes a little bit at Tribal Council. But, I mean, she got shredded.
But do you agree with what Jeff said at Tribal that it's cultural? It's
no, I don't think so at all. I think it's her personality.
I think it is.
Listen, I've met plenty of people from Brazil who are, you know,
who are not cunts. Like, is that what you're saying? You've met plenty of people from Brazil who are not total cunts.
Yes, I mean, yeah, plenty of nice people. I think that's just her. I disagree with Jeff.
Well, and I don't think Jeff was saying that. I think he was asking it because Jeff fucking hates her too. It is so obvious that Jeff.
There are times in the season he was pointing out, "Oh, Abby Marie, you've only done 2 out of the 8 challenges thus far." Things like that, trying to get her off the show. That being said, I think if I were sitting there, I'd have said, "All right, yeah, she's crying now. We can kind of ease off the brakes."
Yeah.
Well, I just felt like at some point, I think she got the message loud and clear.
Let him destroy her. I mean, because
I'm all about fighting and destroying people. Don't get me wrong. I love that part of reality TV, but I did feel like it got a little mean after a while.
But if the shoe was on the other foot, she would have no problem. And she really had no problem destroying Lisa when she was in a position of power.
Absolutely. I mean, she ripped Lisa apart.
It kind of comes around.
I think that was why nobody decided to take their foot off the gas pedal when they were shredding her.
No, I don't. And yeah, she just deserves every bit of it.
Now, a couple interesting vote-offs, right? Because Pete gets voted off because Scoopin switches sides, not Lisa.
Right.
But after that, Lisa joins in, and now you have a 6-person alliance, right? 6 people and Abby Maria. Right. Now, the big other interesting thing is a 4-person Final Four alliance has now been made with Scoopin, Lisa, Malcolm, and Denise. And I see that holding up. I think Penner made a huge strategical mistake on last week's episode. They offered it to him first. He basically poo-pooed the offer. And now I think basically him and Carter are the odd ducks out.
They are. They really are.
And they're not going to know that until after Abby Maria goes home. Not that even try, no. Not even, not that they could even do anything. Cause there's only seven people left on the island, so if one person has four, it doesn't even matter.
Yeah, it's just Penner just screwed up so bad. I mean,
it's shocking because Penner's played such a smart game up until that point. And why would you ever turn down a Final Four alliance? He had to know there was only eight people on the island at the time. So if you're in a four person alliance to the end, that means you're probably getting to the end, right?
Yeah,
I didn't understand that at all.
And the Puffy Taco in the chat room says Penner didn't want to rock the boat before they are at six. But you've got to start planning ahead, and Jonathan knows that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he knows that. If he didn't know that, I don't think he would have came up, because he was part of the plan to split the votes to flush Abby's idol.
Mm-hmm.
If he was not thinking ahead, he wouldn't have been part of that. So why is he not thinking ahead with a Final Four deal?
Doesn't make any sense to me. Does not make any sense to me at all.
No, because he's easily picked off now by Carter or by Malcolm and Dennis.
Still, after Abby Maria, because you would think that they would pick him off before they pick Carter off.
At this point, you take Abby all the way to the end.
I was thinking that too, but I don't think any. I don't think they're going to do that. But I mean, if I were Malcolm, I'd absolutely try to.
Yeah.
I would try to prolong Abby's stay.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you take Abby Maria to the end?
What you do this week is you cut Carter loose. Or you blindside Jonathan. Maybe you blindside Jonathan and try to smooth it over with Carter for some jury votes. But I think Jonathan might be in trouble.
If you're Malcolm, you could absolutely do the whole facade if you wanted to bring Abby Maria to the final three as a shirt. Yeah, you could all play the whole facade. Well, listen, we should just get rid of Jonathan. He's a stronger player, right?
Right.
Then we could just get rid of Carter. He's a stronger player. And then when it gets down to five, you tell Denise, listen, we're bringing Abby Maria to the final three, and we're eliminating Scoopin and Lisa, right?
Right.
That would be an underhanded great game plan if you're Malcolm.
It would be.
Although his problem is Denise could beat him in a final three jury vote. He's actually chosen one of the wrong people to bring with him to the final.
You think he can? He can't win against Denise.
Denise, I can already tell Denise is somebody who's going to wow a jury.
She is. She is. But what has she done? What?
She's won challenges.
She's won challenges. Okay, you've got me there.
And she's actually, and she's not. She's chiming in on discussions. She's not a complete patsy.
No. No, she isn't. She isn't. I understand that, but I think Malcolm has put his neck on the line so many times. And
I think Malcolm would deserve to win, but I could absolutely see Denise destroying him in a jury with her jury speech. I think Denise has the potential to give a really good jury speech.
Bex in the chat room says if she makes it to the end, she would have survived every single tribal council.
Yeah.
And she has been to every tribal council.
So is Malcolm, though. They're in the same tribe.
No. There was a time where Malcolm and Denise were split up.
Yeah, you're right. I completely forgot about that.
And Denise ended up going to that tribal. Yeah, I... She could. I know she's going to do a good jury speech. That I have no doubt. I have no doubt. But I don't know. I think you just take Abby to the end with you.
I mean, I'm all for dragging Abby. I think that's a great strategy. I mean, ever since Rob dragged those two people to the finals with him. Yeah, you've seen year after year, season after season since then, people are saying, you know, that's a great strategy. I'm just to drag two people that can't possibly beat me to the final three.
Yeah,
I mean, Rob taking Philip with him is still the all-time classic.
And they're asking in the chat room if Denise has had any votes against her, and the Wikipedia page says that she has had one cast against her. So, I mean,
she have a vote cast against her. Oh, you're was it within the Russell situation? No, that wasn't. When did she have a vote cast against her?
It must have been early on. I wonder if she got, maybe she got one by Zane or, you know, Roxy or somebody early on. Russell could have voted for her.
Mm-hmm.
Because that was a 2-1 vote.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so yeah, she's got a compelling argument at the end. I can't see her beating Malcolm. I really can't. Oh, Dawson. They're saying in the chat room that it was the Dawson that voted for Denise.
Okay.
The other thing I wanted to talk about is, again, Malcolm showing his giant testicles and not using his immunity idol.
I think that's going to be Jonathan's play at some point against Malcolm.
You think so? Right?
I mean, that's what I would do if I were on the island in the minority. Hmm. I would say, well, why not just have a vote and make Malcolm? I mean, if I were Abby Maria, that's what I would play this whole week. Say, listen, you guys should do the smart thing. You should use me and flush Malcolm's idol.
Yeah.
Right?
But in the end, she's going to get taken out anyway.
Yeah, but they could at least threaten to, you know, if they really wanted, they could at least threaten to force out Malcolm's idol.
Right, but why would Abby?
There's 7 people left, right? Because in order to get,
I just don't, if I'm Abby, I would never agree to help to flush Malcolm's idol. Fuck you guys. I mean, that's, and I think that's the attitude she has, which is the exact same attitude I would have. I'm not helping you flush an idol. You fucked me over this whole game. Well, not really, but you've screwed me over. I'm not helping you. Vote me out. I'm going anyway. Why would I help you? What is in it for her to help them flush his idol?
Maybe another week, right? Gives you another chance to win an immunity challenge.
Nah, they would never do that. They wouldn't. If they're going to do that, it's going to be somebody like Jonathan and Penner or Jonathan and Scoopin, Lisa coming together, Carter, to flush Malcolm's idol and try to get rid of either him or Denise. That's the only way.
Although, you know, Malcolm may never just have to use it, because if he's got this, if this final 4 lines they have holds up, which I don't see why it wouldn't.
I don't trust Michael Scoopin. He wasn't all for this alliance, I don't think. I don't think him and Lisa either one were. Because if Jonathan would have agreed to it, they would have flipped against Malcolm anyway.
Yeah, but now that they're in it,
I don't trust Scoopin or Lisa at this point. I think Lisa can be swayed too easily. Abby's right. Lisa's naive when it comes to this. She's not a good game player. So, are you still with me, Trevor?
Yeah, I'm listening.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, here, there's a couple things going on still in this game. You're at 7. I get the easy vote off this week will be Abby Maria. It will be interesting to see if the 4 holds up. If it does, then Penner and Carter are screwed, right? I guess maybe you think Penner could go to Scoopin and switch Scoopin and Lisa over to him and Carter. But really, the question would come down to, for Scoopin and Lisa, who do they think they have a better chance of winning against? Do they think they have a better chance of winning against Malcolm and Denise? Which they might. I would actually say they would have a better chance of winning with Malcolm and Denise already out of the game.
No, I disagree with that. They have a better chance. Lisa,
I think they have a better chance of beating Jonathan and Carter.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. That's
beating Malcolm and Denise.
I agree. That, yes. My.
If you're Scoopin, it's in your best interest actually to carry Penner to the final 3, because then they can't use the whole veteran argument against you.
It is, but I think the easy vote this week, if you're Malcolm, is Jonathan Penner. I think you have to blindside him now. You take Abby. You plan on taking Abby to the finals with you, and you get rid of Jonathan, because Jonathan is that wild card that can make Scoop and Lisa flip. I just think you have to get rid of him this week. That is the play you have to make if you're Malcolm, is get rid of Jonathan Penner.
Yeah.
Davey says Lisa and Scoobin have made their choice. I can't see them flipping now. You know, Scoobin was going to flip if he had the chance, and he still has a chance to flip. He really does. The opportunity, it's too prime of an opportunity now. You get rid of him. You get rid of him.
The problem is, I think they're just going to do the easy vote off, get rid of Abby and Maria.
I think they will. But I think if you're Malcolm and Denise, that's dumb.
Yeah, I agree with you. If I were Malcolm and Denise, I would try to carry Abby Maria also.
Yeah, you have to.
And you'd easily have her vote to get rid of Penner.
Yeah.
So then all you'd really need is either Scoopin' or Lisa.
This has been one of the most fascinating seasons in a while. It really has been a fascinating season. You don't get much better than this.
It's incredible how Pete and Abby Maria went from being on top of the mountain all the way down in a hurry. And I really think it had nothing to do with Pete. It was Abby Maria's personality that destroyed their tribal alliance.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, I think Pete kind of, the reason why Pete's gone is because he couldn't keep his number one ally in check.
Nope.
And what's funny is, I think everybody thought that Pete actually liked her, when in essence, when you see the confessionals, he was just kind of tolerating her because he knew he wanted to. Oh. I think in the back of Pete's mind, he was thinking, if I bring her to the end, I'm winning $1 million.
But it cost him the game. I mean, it did. He didn't know when was a good time to cut her loose, because he wanted to drag that bitch to the end.
I think he was hoping to make her his Philip.
Yeah, I think he was. But this is a perfect example of that anchor weighing you down to the bottom of the ocean.
Rob Mariano somehow definitely did it. The thing with Philip was, he wasn't mean.
No, that is the difference. Philip was dumb. You can put up with a dummy. You cannot put up with a mean person.
I think Philip was dumb. I would say he was eccentric.
No, Philip was dumb. There is not a lot rolling around up there.
No, I think I actually think Philip's a bright guy. I think he was just very eccentric. And he still gave the greatest jury speech in history.
Yeah, he's you can put up with a dummy. You can't put up with a meanie. it's just the way it is. You can fuck the dumb girl every day of the week, but you can't put up with the bitchy one bitching you out all the time. You dump that one.
No, I mean, interesting week.
Bex in the chat room says you're only eccentric if you're rich. Otherwise, you're just a weirdo.
I'm calling Philip eccentric. I'm standing by the word eccentric.
No. I just don't know how this ends. There's so many scenarios that can play out still with seven people. Usually by the time you're at seven, there is a solid four running this game. I don't feel there's a solid four yet. I mean, we have a four. We have Scoopin' and Lisa paired up with Malcolm and Denise. Those are two strong pairs of two. It's just not a foursome. And you have Penner and Carter. That's another strong twosome.
Yeah, you have three pairs of twos, and two of the pairs of twos are trying to unite.
Right. I
just think Jonathan gave off a weird vibe when he wouldn't agree to their alliance, though. I mean, if I were Lisa and Scoopin', I would have been looking around after talking to Jonathan and saying, did he make a deal with Malcolm and Denise also?
Right, right.
Are we being fucked here? Malcolm and Denise have alliances with both parties of two.
But I don't think Malcolm and Denise have said much to Jonathan and Carter.
I mean, but that's the impression I would get if I had just spoken to Jonathan and I were them.
Yeah, that's true.
I'd be like, that son of a bitch has an alliance. Malcolm and Denise have an alliance with them also.
Yeah, I don't know.
I love that Malcolm was racing around him. I am locking down a four-man alliance by the end of today.
Oh, yeah. No, that's... That's some smart gameplay.
That's actually brilliant. I mean, if I were him, I mean, you know, always every time you have a contestant come on the show, they always say the most important thing to do is lock down your numbers always.
Right.
Always make sure you do whatever you can to have the majority of the numbers on your side, more so than anything else in this game.
With Jonathan being this being his third rodeo, I can't believe he doesn't know that.
Every single one of them. Anytime you don't, if in your head you don't believe you have the numbers, then you're the one going home.
KFN Dog in the chat room says, this is why it's great to have three tribes. And that's absolutely true. Jonathan and Carter started on Calabao. Lisa and Michael started on Tandang. Mm-hmm. Malcolm and Denise started on Matsing. You have three individual tribes and three twosomes now. And that's a great point. This is why it's good to start with three tribes. I like starting with three tribes, and I like it when it gets down to two tribes. I wish, not in this case, because I love Malcolm and I love Denise, I wish they would just decimate a tribe, though. I mean, go until a tribe is just destroyed. And if your tribe gets destroyed, well, fuck, too bad. You're out. Malcolm should have had to fight for his life in an immunity challenge. I don't know. I'm not a producer of a television show called Survivor. I'm no Mark Burnett. But anyway, what do you think? What do you think's going to happen?
I think Abby Maria is going home, but I do think it would be the greatest season. It would be one that this season's already been phenomenal.
Yeah, it has.
But if they blindside Jonathan Penner this week, I will officially throw this season into my top five.
Yeah,
it could happen. You're absolutely right. There's no reason for Malcolm and Denise to not try and blindside Jonathan Penner this week.
Here's a question, and Quan Bryn in the chat room just said, "What? I think Abby pulls a Sheehan and finds an idol. What if that happens? Is there another hidden immunity idol?"
She was there, and I know where she's getting that from, because if you watch the previews, it seems as if Abby Maria may have found an idol. They're hinting at it.
Wow. That changes everything, then.
I honestly hate to root for the villain, but if she were to find an idol and pull it out of Tribal Council, that would be one of the five greatest Survivor moments, I think, of the last 3 years. Because, first off, if I were her, I wouldn't even hide the fact that I'm looking for it when I get back to camp.
You know, no, I think I probably would. I would want... And even as a viewer, I'm sitting here thinking, what if they show her to the viewers, to us, the television audience, her searching for an idol, cut to commercial, and not mention it again until she pulls it out at Tribal Council? How fucking awesome would that be for a television show?
Oh, if we didn't know that she had it and then she pulled it out at Tribal?
For us to not even know. For the viewing audience.
Oh my god, I'd fall off my chair.
Viewing audience to not even know she has an idol. Just show us her searching for it off in the distance, cut to commercial, and don't fucking say another thing about it until they get to Tribal Council. And she goes, oh, what's this? Yeah, suck it, motherfuckers.
Because first off, you know Abby Maria, there's at least a 50-50 chance if she finds that idol, something obnoxious is coming out of her mouth.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I'm back, bitches! Just a real Rachel moment. You know?
Would you like to suck my balls, all six of you?
I would love that as a viewer.
It'd be funny because the look on Jeff's face is also, it'd be against everybody, right? Imagine if she gets the idol, does a little dance on her way up to hand it to Jeff.
And just for us as viewers to not even know it, for us to be as shocked as Malcolm and Denise and Jonathan and all of those guys, I think it would make
her reshoot the scene if she handed the idol to Jeff and then with the other hand was throwing the bird right at all six people.
No, they would just blur out her hand.
that to me, that's what I'm waiting for somebody to do, to pull out the idol and pull out the bird with the other hand.
That's why I will never be on a television program. I'd just be doing the universal suck it sign, flipping them off. I will never be on television.
Especially if you're in the situation, yeah, where it's like five people and one alliance, and you're the only person left, and you win that immunity challenge, or you pull out the individual immunity idol. I don't think I could help myself at that point.
Nah, I don't think I could either. But I would love it if we just didn't have a fucking clue that Abby has an idol and she that pulls
would be,
it out.
Listen, if she has the idol and pulls it out, that will be awesome.
Yeah.
That will just be freaking out. And I've been rooting against her this entire season. I mean,
I've
spent a lot of time on this show ripping her apart. But I'm rooting for her to pull out the immunity idol this week.
That would be great. Now,
especially because she's got the personality to do that.
Yeah.
She's such awful things to begin with. If she pulled out the idol, you know it would be horrifying for the other six people.
Yeah, it would be. It would be. Holly says, what if she convinces Malcolm to give her his?
That would be an underhanded, brilliant move by Malcolm.
Oh, that would be...
Could you imagine if Malcolm said, listen, I want to get Jonathan off, so here's what we're going to do. All six of us are going to vote for you. I want you to pull out my idol and vote for Jonathan.
And then you know what Abby does? She, instead of voting for Jonathan, she votes for Malcolm.
That's the only wrinkle in that plan. Yep. Is to be relying on her to not fuck you.
Yep, that's exactly right. And she would. You just don't trust Abby.
That wouldn't have happened because if that scenario actually occurred and she wrote down Malcolm's name, I'm certain he would be on court somewhere in the Philippines right now.
Yeah, he would be hung. He would be hung. But that would make her, like KFN Dog says in the chat room, that would make her the greatest villain of all time.
That would make her the greatest villain of all time.
Even more so than the women who voted out Eric the ice cream scooper.
That, I don't think they were villains for what they did. I just think Eric was a dupe.
He was a dummy. That man was a dumb ass.
That's when Parvati officially came... Parvati, right? Yep. That's when she officially was, don't trust her at all. If you're ever in any situation with Parvati, just don't trust her.
How about women in general? I'm kidding to all the women out there. But it does seem like the women screw over a lot more people than the guys. Just saying. Just throwing that out there. JK.
When Parvati pulled that off, that was incredible.
That was pretty fucking awesome. So what I think is going to happen this week, I don't think there's going to be another idol. I haven't seen any previews or seen any spoilers or anything. I just don't think there's going to be another idol. I think that Malcolm is going to try to play a big move, but then kind of pussy out and end up voting out Carter instead of Jonathan. And in that case, then he's really screwed because Jonathan will be out for blood. And
I don't see the point of getting out of car. If you're in blindside, so maybe blindside Jonathan.
I know, but that's my... I think that Malcolm goes for the big play, but just can't finish. And instead just, I was going for Jonathan, but I missed, and Carter's going to be good enough.
Well, you know, if Malcolm and Denise, let's say they got... No, it wouldn't work out. Even if they tried to coyly vote for Jonathan... It got Abby Maria to do it also. They'd need to get one of the other four to switch with them.
Yeah. I don't know. It's going to be an interesting episode. Another big episode for Malcolm and Denise. I can't really see a scenario where Malcolm or Denise get voted off, but you don't know what Lisa and Scoopin' are going to do. With Jonathan and Carter.
Yeah, I think Lisa and Scoopin would have preferred to have been in an alliance with Jonathan and Carter.
Yeah, I do too. I as well agree. So another interesting episode coming up this week. Bum bum bum. What else do we have?
Should we go into the Amazing Race?
I suppose we can talk about the Amazing Race. And dead silence.
So that,
I actually have a lot to talk.
I know we have an interview coming. I mean, yeah. I'll start off and say it. I think James and James made the right decision. I don't care if I were them. You know, you got to do what you got to do to win.
I agree. I 100% agree. James and James did the right thing. Texas Trey and Lexi did the right thing. You know what? Props to the tweenies for coming up with kind of that. I mean, they didn't really come up with it, but yeah, they kind of came up with it. A great way to burn the double U-turn so Abby and Ryan couldn't use it. I thought it was just brilliant. I thought it was a brilliant plan.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe they didn't. Maybe I'm giving them credit where it's not due, but I give them a lot of credit for that. They do have – the tweenies do have some good racing skills, as much as I hate to say it and as much as they annoy me.
I actually think that I would make them the front runners right now.
Would you? I don't know if I would. I mean –
with Ryan and Abby gone, I mean, who do you think is left that can beat them, Trey and Lexi? Yeah, maybe, but I wouldn't bet on it. James and James, the tweenies are much smarter than they are.
That's true.
Josh and Brent are just happy to be in this game still.
Yeah, they are too far behind to... I don't know. Maybe there's going to be a great equalizer, but I just feel like... Okay, so James and James leave at 7:32 p.m. Josh and Brent don't leave until about 12 and a half hours later at 8:11 a.m. That's a big half-day difference. Between first and last place. I would have to say there's probably at least 8 hours still between Natalie and Nadia and Josh and Brent.
I mean, Josh and Brent are going home. Yeah. I mean, unless it's a non-elimination, they're going home.
Yep, I agree.
So really it comes down to Trey and Lexi and James and James. And the tweenies have a pretty big lead on them, to be honest.
They do. And they'll be able to ride that fast forward lead, that fast forward bump that they have for a little while. But I just – coming up in these last three legs, you just never know what's going to happen.
I just don't trust that James aren't going to get lost somewhere. I think when that last amazing race challenge comes down to it, where you have to like, where it's a memory slash,
right.
You know, I just think they're not going to be. I think the tweenie winning this game.
I think they might. I think Natalie and Nadia win this amazing race.
Yeah, I agree. Totally agree.
Here's what I kind of wanted to talk about, though. From the beginning of the show. I loved how they had to interpret the clue to Holland, the flag, you're going to Holland. I would love to have seen, for example, Trey and Lexi get a flight to France and just go totally the wrong way and screw them out of the race. I don't know. Is that mean? I would love to see that. I think that's what this race is all about. Here's a clue. If you fuck up, too bad. You're gone. You're done. It ain't going to happen because everybody helps each other in this fucking race.
What I thought was interesting was that Josh and Brent were openly debating whether they should go and do the other, hang out with Abby and Ryan and Abby while they do their U-turn challenge. I was like, this is for $1 million here.
Right.
You just met these people.
Right. The thing that aggravated me the most about this whole thing is Abby and Ryan were so happy to see Josh and Brent. There was only one reason in my mind, and they talk about it in the interview later, but fuck that, you're listening to me now. There's only one reason they were happy to see him. They saw a team they could easily beat to the mat. That is the only reason they agreed to work with Josh and Brent. Is because you know what? When worse comes to worse, we are going to be able to beat you at the mat. So we want to go along with you instead of getting way behind you. I don't think that Abby and Ryan are that strong of a team. I don't think that they were as of much of a threat as everybody made them out to be. I think... they were a threat, because it was $2 million.
I mean, I agree. I definitely don't think they're as strong a team as everybody made them out to be. But I also think that they were probably the one team left that I could have seen beating the Twins.
Oh, I agree.
I just don't. Trey and Lexi just seem like an okay team to me. I mean, maybe they could stand a test, but I don't buy that. And then James, I just don't see them beating the Twins.
No.
And then Josh and Brent, I think, are just happy to be in the Final Four. I would be stunned, to be quite honest, if the Twins lost this race.
Yeah, I think I would be too.
I'd be really surprised. They've been run. You look at their finishes. Have they had a leg where they were even close to being eliminated? No. Were they like in a serious race for last place?
They're always in the top half, except the third leg. They were sixth out of ninth. Otherwise,
but even then, I think they came in that leg with like the fourth and fifth team basically at the same time.
Yeah,
I don't think they've never been on the ropes at all. They've run a pretty clean race.
Oh yeah, only two first place finishes now. A lot of third places, four thirds, a couple fourths, sixth. I don't know. I was really irritated last night by all the lovey-dovey, let's work together and have a great, big, huge orgy attitude.
I agree. Totally agree.
I'm just tired of it. You know, you're on a fucking race for $1 million or $2 million.
That's the problem with the Amazing Race. Now, I wonder if it's because it's a Sunday at 8 o'clock show that they cast the show to not have villains on it.
No, I don't think so. Because the tweenies are villains. Everybody's fed up with Natalie and Nadia.
Oh, I think I like the Twins. I don't know anybody that doesn't. I think the Twins are a good team.
The whole world hates Natalie and Nadia, Trevor. You might be the only fanboy they have.
I've been rooting for them. I feel like they're a fun team to watch.
They're fucking.
They're not villains. Like Boston Rob in Survivor was a villain. You know, Colin and Christy in The Amazing Race 5, they were villains.
Zach and Flo.
Nadia, the only villainous thing that you can say that they did was swiping the long-haired team's money.
Okay, so they committed a felony. Okay, so sue me. They're villains.
You know what? Trey and Lexi are just as complicit because they split it.
They are. They are. Trey and Lexi are villains. They're kind of villains, too, in all honesty. Something that came up that was interesting today, and it wasn't in my section of the interview, but I did overhear it, was Abby and Ryan made a point, and it was Ryan talking. He said something like, if we had stepped on the mat at the exact same time as the goat farmers, Josh and Brent, there are rules in place to determine a last place tie, and Abby and Ryan were confident that they had the edge over Josh and Brent and would have been able to stay in the race. Obviously, the W-turn didn't allow that to happen, but Abby and Ryan, again, I go back to the fact that Abby and Ryan's saying in the backseat of the car, well, they're not a threat to us, but you're still in last place. They had a plan to still work together with them instead of getting behind them and maybe losing if it wasn't for the U-turn. They had a plan in place that they were more than willing to sacrifice Josh and Brent's game for their own. Not that that's a bad thing, but it amazes me that Josh and Brent would have put themselves in that position to allow them to be eliminated.
Mm-hmm.
I just am so tired of the working together. You are on a competition. There needs to be more competition in this race. I don't know. What do you think, Trevor?
I agree. I totally agree.
The other thing makes me think that the Twins are good racers is they convinced the flight people. I don't know which airline they were on, but they convinced them to let them be on the quick layover and it give them kind of an edge getting into Holland.
Yeah, I know.
It was, I hats off to them, I guess.
They're the best team on this race. I mean, that, they're not getting, I don't think they're getting enough credit for the fact that I would be absolutely stunned if they lost. Stunned. If they don't win this race, it'll be a pretty big upset, because that's how much better I think they are than the rest of the teams left in this field.
Yeah, they are pretty good.
I think they're more of an overwhelming favorite to win the Amazing Race than Malcolm is to win Survivor.
No, I don't agree with that at all. I would say I'm rooting for Trey and Lexi to win, and it pains me to say that because I think he's a douche. But I would probably cheer for them to win over anybody. But somebody said last week that Trey and Lexi are getting a happy couple second place edit, and that's absolutely true. it's so perfect. Trey and Lexi, and it might have been the Puffy Taco or Nico last week, just getting a second place happy couple. We're happy to have each other edit. We don't need $1 million because we have each other. But I don't know. What the fuck do I know? I just sit behind a microphone every week and talk about the Amazing Race.
I agree with a happy couple second place edit. That's, I like that.
That's exactly what they're getting. At one point last night, I was hoping that Abby and Ryan get eliminated because they were only happy that Josh and Brent were there for them to beat. That's probably what irritated me the most about them last night, is they were only happy that Josh and Brent were there because we can beat them, by God. We can take them down. But that's my thoughts on the Amazing Race. Abby and Ryan, lovely people to talk to, though, on the telephone.
And we have that interview coming up next. Yes,
that interview's coming up right after the show. After the show.
So what do you have happening this week on The Amazing Race?
Oh, I think Natalie and Nadia get eliminated. No, I'm just kidding. obviously, it's Josh and Brent.
I agree. It's Josh and Brent or a non-elimination. I'm going to go Josh and Brent, though.
I think that we won't see our non-elimination leg until after we get down to three teams. Then the third team will be saved for a non-elimination leg going into the last leg of the race.
Okay.
I think Josh and Brent are gone. Bye-bye. Right? Don't you agree?
Yeah, I agree with you. They're so far behind. It would almost take a miracle for them to catch up.
It would. It would take a miracle for them to catch up. And it might happen. I mean, shit, crazy shit happens on this race. Natalie and Nadia might end up getting eliminated by some odd reason. Who knows? I don't know. This season of The Amazing Race, it's not ending terribly. I mean, I have shit on every single team that's on the show. I've hated everybody at one point in time. But I don't think that this season is going to turn out as bad as it started. I don't know. What do you think on that?
I don't know. I feel like it's probably going to be anticlimactic.
You think so?
I think Natalie and Nadia are going to win by a good amount.
I think, though, there's going to be a race at the end. Somebody's saying that there's only two more episodes. December 9th is the finale. The Puffy Taco is saying that in the chat room.
I think it's going to be anticlimactic.
I don't know. I mean, we could see something.
It makes sense that there's only two more episodes, and Josh and Brent go home this week, and we have a two-hour, three-team race the last episode.
Yeah. I can't believe we're coming up on only two episodes left. That's crazy to me, because that means Survivor's ending, too.
When Survivor season finale, somebody probably knows this.
It's got to be the week later. It's got to be if it's got to be the 16th. It's got to be the 16th. It'll be the Sunday after the Amazing Race finale. We have three episodes of Survivor left.
That sucks.
We'll have four this week, because today's the 26th. The 28th, 5th, 12th, and 16th. There's four episodes left. Yep, they're saying that in the chat room, too. 16th. I'm right. What a shock. I have a microphone in front of me, and I'm right. It's the way I roll. So what else is going on in your life, Trevor?
Nothing really. Just, watching a good amount of reality television. Watching a good amount of regular television also. I've been diversifying myself.
I am excited to see this week's Walking Dead. If I don't see that pretty soon.
I have heard from everybody who's watching that show that it is one of the 5 greatest shows on television. That I should definitely watch it on Netflix. It
could be one of the 10 greatest shows in history of mankind.
That they killed off their entire cast and yet they're still
yes,
show.
It's amazing how they are able to kill off their entire cast and it is a bloodbath. It is a bloodbath.
The show that I'm really into that I'm not sure if enough people are watching is Sons of Anarchy. I love that show.
I've heard that that's a good show too. I've heard that that's a good show. I've never watched it, but I've heard that it's pretty good.
It's been good ever since it first came on, but I would say it hasn't gotten worse every season. In fact, you can tell that they're beginning to get bigger because now you have Jimmy Smits guest starring on it.
Oh,
I think Ashley Tisdale was on a couple episodes this year. They're getting bigger. They're now getting name actors and actresses showing up on the show.
Wow, that's kind of impressive.
Mm-hmm.
Well, should we get out of here for the week? We got an interview to play, so fuck it.
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's get the hell out of here. This is how we end the show, folks. Fuck it. We're done. How can people get a hold of you, Trevor?
They can catch me at Trevor, rffradio.com.
I'm Rob at rffradio.com. The best way to get a hold of me is on Twitter, twitter.com/RobRFF, or Facebook, facebook.com/RobRFF. Guys, we'll be back next Monday night, December. Can you believe we're coming into December?
I know.
December 3rd, we'll be back.
It's going to be snowing pretty soon.
Ugh, we had some snow this morning when I woke up.
That's not
just
fun.
Just a smidget. Just a smidget of snow. No. Anyway, stay tuned for the Abby and Ryan interview coming up right after this. Have a great week, everybody. We'll see you next week.
Hey, guys, it's Rob from RFF Radio.
RFF Radio.
Woo! Congratulations to making it as far
on
as you
fifth
did.
Place.
Hey, it's better than 6th or 7th or last place.
8th, 9th, 10th, or 11th.
Is this a print interview or are you live on the webcast or something?
No, I'm pre-recording it.
Got it.
I want to know what it was like after for you guys after that first leg when you realized you were racing for $1 million. Was that $2 million? Was that a big deal to the other teams?
Ryan, this one's for you. Ryan has a strong opinion.
I have a strong opinion that ultimately the game decisions to U-turn us and everything else that came along with it had nothing to do with the $2 million. It had everything to do with how we were winning each leg or coming in the top. I think we went first, fourth, first, and then second, 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 all the way up until Turkey. And after, out of Turkey, we got had major flight issues. So at that point, every decision that was made against us was made just because we were a strong team. We could have been racing for $1, and the teams would have made the same decision because we were going to impact their ability to win their own $1 million prize.
Mm-hmm. Now, I want to kind of talk about you guys' relationship with the Tweenies.
Tweenie! What would you like to know?
Where did that relationship break down? I mean, because you never had a real strong connection with them, I know, from the very beginning, but where did it really just go south?
You know, it's funny, because looking back, a lot of people, at my dance studio or friends and family said, what the heck did you guys do to have this, hatred for one another? And I think that if you back up, they're competitive, and we're competitive, and, sometimes you don't like the people you compete against. You're maybe threatened for whatever reason, or whatnot, and so I think that, a lot of what they showed were little snippets. There weren't many times when we were arguing and, being horrible to each other, and I think that a lot of the 20 stuff is humor-driven.
I would just add that, the few things that you say each other saying is probably the only things that were actually said, but since the show only gives you 40 minutes of airtime, you tend to get a lot of weight when something comes up. So it may look like we say things all day long, but really there are just a few comments. We were really only concerned with one thing, and that was how we performed on the race course. Mm-hmm. Really, except for the U-turns, there's really nothing another team can do to you to slow you down and impact your race. And I think when you did see us interacting, it was sort of in a sibling rivalry sense. I mean,
it was playful.
Like, I genuinely was laughing at the way that they talked, and I was blown away by the things that they said. I thought it was funny.
Their sarcasm, too.
I have a similar sense of humor. So for the most part, I just found them to be entertaining. I didn't have this issue like, oh, my God, I can't run this race with them still here.
Little test, yeah. Kind of. And, you know, the one day when I was asking, oh, have you built a scale in your backyard? Yeah, no shit. It was sarcasm, but it came across like I was like, oh, Nadia, have you actually built a scale? I mean, like, come on, really? It was all for fun, and, you know, people might be surprised by this, but we've actually developed a good relationship with them after the show.
Wow.
You know, them and the Beaks, we talk to via text like almost every day. Uh-huh. And, you know, I think that they're young, and we both didn't know each other that well during the show. And, you know, you don't have a lot of time to really get to know people. You're racing on your own quite a bit. So
sure.
They're funny, man. They're... they're funny.
I want to ask about the U-turn and how personally did you take it at the time? And after seeing last night's episode, did any opinions change? Or how has that relationship since then?
Well, here, I have James right here with me right now. We just got back from working out. I'll let him answer.
I think I'll start and then Ryan can maybe finish. I don't know. Is that cool? I think that our emotions obviously were running high in the heat of the moment. You know, you've got to take all the other factors into consideration. We're exhausted. We're tired. We've had horrid plane luck. You know, we've had to do two detours, one in the pouring rain. We're just spent. And so, you know, your emotions are running high, and you say things, you know, that come right out. It's not like you have a lot of time to really analyze the situation. And in the heat of the moment, we were really bummed. We had built a strong alliance with the Chips, which they didn't really show much up at all on television or on the show, but from day one, LAX, we had, you know, decided that we wanted to align with a strong male-male team, and they actually came up to us and said, you guys look strong, like, let's try and run this and help each other out and get to the final three. Then, you know, we kind of shake hands and all bets are off and we run our race. So the whole race, we were helping each other out and, you know, really working together until we got separated. And so for us, it was a little bit of a shocker that it was them, you know, Twinnies, yes, of course, Texas, yes, of course, but them, you know, it stung a little bit in the moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think when Abby says we had an alliance, I would say we even had more than an alliance. We had a really good friendship with them. We spent a lot of time traveling together because, for the most part, we, you know, unlike the Beekmans, we saw the Chippendales all the time, the first six legs of the race. And in fact, when we did get separated in Turkey going into Russia, we saw them a couple days later, and it was like they just saw, you know, the Holy Ghost of, you know, Jesus himself coming in the door. When we walked in, they're like, oh, my God, we can breathe again, and, you know, thank God you guys are here, and what happened? And so we're sharing our story in this terrible airport turmoil we've been having, and then we said, you know, there's concern that there's a U-turn going to coming up, and these twins in Texas want nothing more than us out, and James 1 says,
don't worry, we got your back.
Yeah, don't worry about it. Nothing's going to happen to you. We got your back.
Got you guys.
And it's fine in the course of the game to use a U-turn. I mean, we had already talked about it in Indonesia that we didn't agree with it. We wanted to win against the strongest teams and on the same course. But that being said, I think where it got personal for us is, why are you going out of your way to make us feel like we're such close friends and sharing stories of our families and the illness that his dad was going through? And, you know, why are you bringing us so? Why are you going to such great lengths to get us to be close friends just to stab us in the back? And that was the reality for us. Not that a U-turn was used, you know.
Right.
Even along the same lines, to people that had bad cabs, the blondes, Daniel and Amy, people that had bad flights like us, that's part of the game to us. And we respect that a race around the world should very much include, you know, real-life situations like bad cab drivers and bad flight planning. So along the same lines, the detour is part of the race, and we have no problem with that. I'm sorry, the U-turn.
Yeah, watching it last night, we get it. We're not bitter about being U-turns.
Sure.
We knew that was a high probability. You know, it time has passed, and we get it. It's part of the game, and everybody's looking out for themselves at the end of the day, and, you know, they had a really strong reason to want to win the million, and we have our reasons, and you can't really weigh one as better or more significant. It's at the end of the day, you're going to do what you have to do
sure.
to get to the end.
No, my last question that I have for you guys, and I'll step aside here, is would you have worked, or why did you work so closely with the Beekmans, and would you have worked closely with any other team in that situation?
Well, I think what started for us, it's not like we really thought about, oh, let's align with them. You know, when you're put through a crappy situation, a.k.a. the Frankfurt Airport being stranded, you tend to bond with people. And thank God it was them because, you know, they're tolerable and they're kind and they're smart and they're supportive. And they were, you know, the best two people to be stuck in the Frankfurt Airport with. So it's not that we went into it strategizing to team up. It just it started to evolve like that. And, you know, when you spend that much time with one other team, you're bound to develop a bond with them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think, you know, for us being, you know, mid-30s and them being a little bit older, there's a lot more to life than, you know, we've sort of, you know, look, it's all relative to people that are listening that are in their 50s or 60s are probably going to laugh. But, you know, versus the 20-year-old somethings on the race course, these relationships are much more valuable to us, even more so than the money. And at the end of the day, you know, Abby and I are successful people, and we don't need money to even determine success. But relationships like what we had forming with the Beekmans go well beyond the money for us. And so the game sort of changed for us on many levels that night in Frankfurt. Aligning with them was more about this bond that we were forming. And we sort of had all strategized many legs ahead with this U-turn in mind. And we decided, look, if it's going to be someone getting U-turn at the back, it's going to be us. Let us help you at least get through these next few legs where we're so far behind. And let us kind of share with you our wisdom and help you guys sort of see what we've done to be successful so you guys can be successful. Because if they could ever pull out a win, I mean, it would be the greatest upset in race history. but we would feel a sense of victory, too, in that, because we shared with them so many of our own resources and our own insights. And so, you know, it wasn't about us winning. We realized that we probably couldn't overcome a double U-turn. We sort of already had kind of strategized that was going to happen against us. So the next best thing was getting these guys as far as we could get them.
Well, you guys did an awesome job, and it would have been great to see a $2 million team win, but maybe next time.
Maybe next time.
Maybe when you guys are on All-Stars, we'll see you.
Maybe when we're 40.
Well, congratulations, you guys, and thanks for talking with me today.
Thank you.